Welcome to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artist. And today with me on our podcast is, I'm really excited to have him on, is Dr. David Martin. You've seen him, you've listened to him. He's been able to present an entire load of information around the COVID hoax. He was also featured in the Plandemic 2 documentary done by Mickey Willis, who's become a personal friend, and we're very excited about that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dean Martin. Say hi. David Martin,
very, very, very good to meet you, and wonderful to be here.
Thank you very much. Now, our first sponsor for our show, we're going to get these out of the way, is the North Texas Healing Center. It was my previous clinic that we've turned over to three other docs that are taking care of patients around the world. It's the North Texas Healing Center. They actually focus on identifying and eliminating the causes for symptoms and diseases. They use massage therapy, chiropractic care, acupuncture therapy, alternative health care is what they focus on. If you're looking for a pathway to healing, contact them today at NorthTexasHealingCenter.com or just call them at 214-705-9369. They actually treat patients around the world. By the time I left that office, we had patients from 16 different countries. So let them help you. Our second sponsor is MyPillow and Mike Lindell. He's actually been on a mission to help support as many media outlets as possible who want to spread truth, patriotism, you name it. But he's given us a promo code DOCTOR for our audiences, D-O-C-T-O-R. Next time you need pillows, sheets, towels, we love the towels. They're my favorite things that he created. Slippers, dog beds, you name it. Go to MyPillow.com, shop for what they have, put in the promo code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, and he will actually populate new discount codes for you on the items you selected, just for our audiences. And then he actually does rev share with us to help support us and keep us in the media. And just like Dr. David Martin, I've been all over the media since May 2020 trying to expose the criminality behind the COVID pandemic. And so regardless if it's a hoax, a plan, it doesn't matter. There are people intentionally trying to murder and maim people behind an agenda. And I have never been okay with that. And I've been outright and outspoken. Every time I go into any event, I keep hearing that I'm one of the most bold speakers when it comes to what's really going on. And for me, it's been very upsetting. Dr. David Martin was recently here in Dallas a couple weeks ago, and I heard him say something, and I told him before we started recording this and brought him onto the show. It was, finally, I was excited to hear him say you were no longer going to hear him ever speak and be a nice guy anymore. Dr. David Martin, I want you to introduce yourself to the audience, give them a little bit of your background, and then I'm going to play a clip. So just give us your little bio so people know who you are. I know they know your face. Please tell them how it is you got here.
Well, from Iran-Contra back in the 1980s until now, I have had the dubious distinction of being part of uncovering what is done in our name without our assent. I have been involved from corruption at the FDA to corruption at the U.S. Treasury to corruption in the White House to corruption all over the place. And most recently, obviously, since 1998, tracking the development of the bioweapon we are being told is called SARS coronavirus. My background, got my physiology degree at Ball State University, then went to the University of Virginia, where I joined the medical school faculty in radiology and orthopedic surgery. For 10 years, I ran the clinical trials center there for FDA clinical trials on medical devices, the first medical device contract research organization in America. And then the rest of my businesses took off. I bought that company out of the University of Virginia. And then in 1998, I started MCAM, which is the company I still run. We are the world's leader in intangible asset underwriting. And it is because of that that we have access to very unique perspectives on data. We actually track innovation and contracts and transactions and funding exercises in over 168 countries. So if it moves on the globe, there's a high probability we've seen it. And that includes watching when countries begin engaging in illegal activities with respect to biological and chemical weapons, which is obviously where we're going with today's conversation. So I've been monitoring that and providing insight for law enforcement, intelligence operations, since the late 1990s in the proliferation of biological and chemical weapons. And thus, probably the person who has been watching this the longest of anybody except the perpetrators of the crimes.
Dr. David Martin, thank you for all you've done. When I hear people give a bio like that, I often think, did you ever think you'd be doing this as a little kid? Like, what did you think about when you looked into the future? This is what I'm going to do in the future. Always.
Well, that's a funny question. The answer is unfortunately yes. I began doing some fairly interesting things very early in my life and became very aware of how popular those things were with a variety of government agencies. So from six on, I have been doing some rather unusual things. Not surprising that I'm doing some unusual things now.
All right. So I appreciate the intro. Audiences, I want you to turn your trust over to Dr. David Martin for the next hour and to continue following him, because the things he's exposed, I was unaware of. I was busy in practice since 2004, helping one individual, one family after another from countries around the world in a private practice, while he's off uncovering who's actually trying to destroy our world and our society. I want to actually play a clip from the current company that you run. It is MCAM, correct?
Yep.
All right, I've got a 2-minute clip from MCAM. Please play it, Ren.
If you watch a martial arts film, one of the things that I love about it, particularly if it's a bad martial arts film, is there's always a scene where the little guy, the hero, whoever the little guy hero is, actually has six or seven really giant guys who are coming at him. And somehow or another, the little guy actually gets all of the six or seven other guys to be strewn about the floor in 30 seconds. Great martial artists, great ninjas, great manipulators of fulcrums of systems have the ability not to put the energy into the system, but they have the ability to discern where the energy is in the system, and their job is to subtly redirect its flow. I don't think Bruce Lee ever said that, but that's really what he was doing. He was inviting active energy to be pacified. What we want to do inside of every bit of the training that we do inside of the workshops is to understand that we don't have to apply any energy to any system. What we do is teach the discernment of how to see the energy for what it is, and then introduce the subtle intervention, which is actually going to align that energy to a different purpose. All the energy that we need in the universe is already here. All the energy we need is already within us. And what we need to do is be able to be perceptive enough to discern where it is, where it's flowing, and how through subtle manipulation we can get it to be aligned to something that actually serves meaning and purpose in the world.
Now, I have to tell you why I love that clip. I love the clip because you mentioned that there's these subtle energies. We just have to identify what those energies are.
Yep.
Do you still feel, after finding and identifying that there's been these corrupt entities and individuals that have been driving energies since 1998 to create what we are experiencing right now in the world, do you still consider those energies to be subtle? Have they been
subtle? No question. No question. And the reason I say that is actually rather simple. It requires very little effort to hijack what is probably the most common denominator in what most people have determined to be health, which is the fear of death. The amount of our daily existence, the amount of the conversations that we have, the amount of the pursuits we take on that are specifically oriented towards staving off some sort of fear of death is so easily hijacked with very little effort by those who decide that they have a very specific agenda. They want to take that agenda and advance it. And quite ironically, they use our fear, they use our energy to, in fact, enslave us. What I love about that is that we actually have the opportunity, if we want to say if it takes very little effort for us to be enslaved, it also takes very little effort for us to be emancipated. And so I'm in the business of actually finding ways to remind people that the only way that you can have a pandemic like the one we're currently pretending to be in, the only way you can have it work is if you genuinely have a fear of death and you've never really spent time defining what life is. And the minute you decide to define what life is, all of a sudden, Anthony Fauci and Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric, Bill Gates, all these crowd have no power. The minute you've decided that life is the process of celebrating the amazing, miraculous thing that we call our bodies, that we call our health and our well-being. And the minute we actually understand that there's nothing we have to fear, and certainly not death, then all of a sudden the gas leaks out of the tank and their car stops running.
That's awesome. Now, I want to know also, in that clip that we just played, you said it's the real part of life is to identify what energies are out there and then realign them. Like, the energy's already present. It's all there. Yep. Do you get a sense that what we're up against with this COVID hoax, do you get a sense that there are entities and energies that are coming together and aligning themselves for a greater purpose and meaning?
Well, there's no question that that's happening. I have to say that, you know, in the last even 4.5-5 weeks, you mentioned the Texas event. The Texas event was number 3 in a series of 4 presentations I made. I kicked those off at the Church of Glad Tidings in Yuba City, California. And I will tell you that the Church of Glad Tidings, my second appearance there, and hopefully the first of many more, was a place where I had the opportunity to see the power of individuals who have, in fact, not given over to fear, but are absolutely certain that we are not just prevailing, that what is coming together is a community of people who are, for the first time in a long time, reclaiming what it means to be human, reclaiming what it means to take the, you know, what the common, you know, common understanding would be, we have a compelling created order. We have a compelling divine order that says that we are prevailing because we in fact have life and breath. And the minute we understand that this absence of fear, this movement towards a community that actually holds itself to a standard that says that we're in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. We're not in the escaping of death. I think that message is gaining traction. I think the community at Yuba City, California, the community that I met in Salt Lake City at the We Can Act conference, obviously the Weston Price Foundation, who hosted the event in Texas, and then the Red Pill Expo, what we saw was communities across this country and around the world who are coming together and saying, this is just an opportunity for us to wake ourselves back up to what it means to be alive, to be vital, to stand for something, to stand together for something. And so, yeah, we're winning and we are continuing to win because every time somebody makes the decision to stand for what is true and what is right, that's another day that humanity won and the forces of darkness lost. And I've seen a lot of winning days.
That's phenomenal. It's one of the things I want people to be aware of, and we have audiences around the world. I really appreciate you going out and standing and being a light for people. The reason why you become a light, I think, and for many of us that have been trying to do this for people, is when you expose truths to people, then that fear of death that's been propaganded, marketed, like thrown in our faces nonstop without real reason or cause, but they don't know that. This overlying fear of death has been robbing them of vitality in the experience of living. And
absolutely.
And it's been disgusting to me. It's been stressful to the world, you could tell. And it's been trying to help people uncover the great lies that are in front of them. And you, I'll promise you, you have known more about the lies than I have for a long time, and many of us. But I was very aware of the lies the moment I saw it, the moment I read it. I've been trying to project that on the world. So let's, in this, now that you've seen hope and light coming, which is great, I want to continue that. And one of the ways in which we do that is expose the truth. So if it's really not a fear of death and there's been something planned and orchestrated and marketed since 1998, Dr. Martin, do you mind spending some time bringing an awareness to my audience of those individuals that you've been so bravely exposing? I've been trying to expose a bunch of them, several of them. You have a whole list. Can you at least bring some awareness to the audience of those individuals who are behind this, that are perpetuating something that's not real, that are robbing us of our liberties and pursuits of happiness in life?
Yeah, well, I think we can't help but begin in 1984 when Anthony Fauci was appointed to be the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease. He was put there not because he was qualified, not because he was competent, not because he had expertise. He was put there to drive forward an agenda, and the agenda was singular. The agenda was that there was an awareness among the pharma industry. And by the way, I'm not talking metaphorically. I'm talking about the organized allopathic drug delivery and drug dealing companies of America and the world, to build a mechanism whereby the public could become dependent on vaccines as a primary means of building a drug addiction. The problem that we had in 1984 is that the public was aware that vaccines were, in fact, quite dangerous and were causing a number of health problems. And it was because of that, that the first 2 years of Anthony Fauci's reign of terror at NIAID was to promote and advance the PrEP Act. The 1986 Child Infant Vaccine Injury Act, the 1986 Act. For 2 years, he promoted the importance of having a universal vaccine agenda, which would be something that would have two insidious components to it. And by the way, two components that in the history of U.S. commerce has not been afforded to anyone else. And that was that we were going to create a product class in the United States where manufacturers had no liability for the harm and death that they caused. When I say that Anthony Fauci has been promoting the mass murder of our people since his career started at NIAID, I'm not using hyperbole. The fact of the matter is, in 1986, when Congress passed the act which Ronald Reagan signed into law, there is no question that the first step on this insidious pathway towards building a vaccine-dependent population began, and it was put in motion. The tiny problem, and you know this, Dr. Artis, you know that there has been an effort since that period of time, whether it's influenza, whether it's the various forms of hepatitis, whether it's the various treatments for or proposed treatments for HPV or HIV or any of the other Vs that are out there. Every time there is a novel announcement of some sort of new thing to fear, which, by the way, in every instance, once again, preys on a fear of death. That's what all of these things are predicated upon. Then a vaccine solution is promoted. And not surprisingly, right after we have the 1986 Act passed, we have HIV outbreak across America. And the first impulse was, hey, let's get a vaccine. The only problem was the vaccines were killing people. And the reason why we started using all kinds of drug cocktails is because they created a very expensive drug dependency, which turns out to also kill people, but just do it slower. So there's a lot more money that can be made from extracting money from those who are suffering from what was called HIV back in the late 1980s. And not surprisingly, we had various influenza outbreaks, which all led to promotions of solutions that were supposedly going to save us from influenza. And that included the H1N1, that included H5N1, it included all kinds of different numeric codes of influenza that were coming from swine, that were coming from birds, that were coming from all sorts of other places. And the problem is, across the 1980s and 1990s, as much as there was an effort to promote and push vaccines as a primary medical mandate, it just wasn't working out very well. Now, mind you, that public school systems started mandating all sorts of vaccines. Universities tried to get, you know, everything from hepatitis to meningitis to all kinds of other things approved in terms of mandating these things. So the departments of education were used as a way to promote this. But the fact of the matter is, Anthony Fauci, after $191 billion was spent through his organizations, was a failed CEO of a singular focus that he's had for his entire career, which is to build a vaccine-dependent population. And it turns out that in the late 1990s, he fell upon a very interesting research collaboration with University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where he figured out a way to take what was primarily across the 90s, a pathogen that we were concerned about with dogs, with pigs, and with rabbits. And I want to come back to the rabbits in a second. But he decided to pick a person who was the architect of making this lethal pathogen more lethal. And it was lethal, by the way, to animals, not to people. And in 1998, together with Ralph Baric, he decided to see if we could use coronavirus as a vaccine vector. Now, let me unpack what those words mean. They quite literally mean using a viral model as the thing you inject so that something else can be carried into the cell. So quite literally, his first goal in the late 1990s was to use coronavirus as a vaccine vector, meaning that we were going to use a nature-based product to ultimately advance a vaccine mandate. This was not a vaccine for coronavirus. It was, in fact, the attempt to inject coronavirus so it could be the vaccine that carried another pathogen into the cell. That project, started in 1998, funded by NIAID, led to a patent in 2002. That patent was taken out by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And in that patent, we have the first recombinant chimeric coronavirus patented specifically to become a vaccine vector for Anthony Fauci's ill-gotten and ill-conceived plans of making the public dependent forever on vaccines.
Now, you also mentioned in one of your interviews just how much money was, you know, these distractions that come up, how much money went to Wuhan lab compared to how much money went to UNC and Ralph Baric. Can you touch on those numbers?
Well, I just find it fascinating that, you know, we spend all kinds of times chasing our tail about the EcoHealth Alliance $3.7 million that went to Wuhan, not counting, by the way, all the other money that went to Wuhan. But against that backdrop, in the same period of time that the illegal actions were being taken by offshoring this very dangerous research to Wuhan, China, we had over $40 million in non-competitive grants awarded to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and its collaborators through a non-competitive, and by the way, that means it's a violation of antitrust laws, not to say anything about the violation of the moratorium on gain-of-function research, but over $40 million going to UNC Chapel Hill during that period of time. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the over $121 million that NIAID specifically spent on weaponizing coronavirus. Nobody's talking about those numbers while we're all supposed to be distracted by Rand Paul's nonsense about $3.7 million going to Wuhan. The fact of the matter is, way before we had EcoHealth Alliance's collaboration in Wuhan, in 2012, 13, and 14, we had the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, illegally uploading the genome of a known to be toxic to human version of coronavirus called Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus Number 1, or WIV1, uploaded, recreated, and literally built in North Carolina. The Wuhan virus built in North Carolina. And by their own admission, by 2016, they stated that it was, quote, poised for human emergence. Does that sound like an accident in a wet market in sometime in December of 2019, when nope. In 2016 we have a Wuhan virus poised for human emergence?
No, it doesn't sound anything like that. So I want to just touch on a few things that I've become aware of that made me so angry. And then I want to touch on some other names outside of Fauci. Anthony Fauci, I've stated since May 2020 when I read that he had selected at the NIH.gov on his website or on their website was a memo that said that they were selecting one drug and one drug only to treat all American hospitalized COVID-19 patients. And this drug was an antiviral experimental, never FDA approved at that point, called Remdesivir.
Yep.
And he said on this memo that was in print that there was two studies that supported its use where it was found safe and effective against the Ebola virus a year earlier. And I just have to be honest with you, at this point in my life, in May 2020, I didn't even know who Anthony Fauci was. All I know is there was this memo I was looking at to find out why were so many Americans supposedly in New York dying when we have the greatest United healthcare system, you know, in the world. How in the world is it possible we have more deaths than any other country if this thing is so dangerously going around the world and it's a pandemic globally? And I read this memo and then I just clicked the studies to find out what did he find in these studies that showed remdesivir to be so safe and effective against the Ebola virus. And when I opened it, I couldn't believe that the research study on the New England Journal of Medicine actually stated that an independent safety board for that study found that remdesivir of four experimental drugs in Africa over a year-long period was found to actually kill over 50% of all people they gave that drug to. And it was the Correct. Only drug that had a death rate of 53%, over 50%. And the other three drugs had mortality rates of 33%, 35%, and another one with 49%. And that drug was put in by our United States Health and Human Services Department.
Right.
And it was called ZMapp. These two drugs were pulled from the study, remdesivir and ZMapp. And I remember the moment I saw the actual data in the research study, all I knew right then was Anthony Fauci was lying to the American public. Then I then I looked to see who funded this whole study. It was only him. Him and his NIAID department. And that's what made me furious. And so I went into the media to let everybody know the hospital protocols are set up to kill you. He's then going to tell you in the media that the virus is doing it and it isn't. They're poisoning you to death, causing acute kidney failure. They're going to flood your lungs with water with this drug because he knows that's what it does. And they're going to call it COVID pneumonia. And they're going to have to vent these people. That's not what it is. It's pulmonary edema from shutting down the kidneys. That's what these two studies showed. And I couldn't believe David Martin that no one else, it appeared, had been reading these studies that he actually was bold enough and arrogant enough to actually put on his website, NIH.gov's website. I just clicked them and read them. And then I had to go into the media to let them know this whole thing's a farce. They're going to murder you. Don't go to the hospitals. They've set it up so they can sell you on this idea in the future. This is all I knew. He was going to sell people on a vaccine as the solution. And I didn't know anything about this guy. I just knew this was the trend I had seen with federal health agencies in my last 20 years of practice. Okay, go ahead.
Well, and I'm just going to remind people that we're about to see the second one of those come out. So remdesivir and the Ridgeback Pharmaceutical Merck drug that we just were told was this next miracle drug that Merck is going to release to allegedly help save us from coronavirus. Both of them, by the way, patented by Ralph Baric's collaborators under the Ralph Baric Lab program. In fact, Ralph Baric is one of the advisors on the remdesivir program at Gilead Sciences. So, you know, I wish that we were making any of these things up. The documentation's been around for a long time. EIDD, whatever the number is, I think 2573 or 2733 or whatever it is. But the compound that became remdesivir, which was allegedly celebrated as this breakthrough drug that was going to have its EUA use authorized so that it could be used against coronavirus, like the mRNA platforms, were in fact known to be lethal to humans. And the only way they could be adopted is under emergency use authorization. And guess what? To make an EUA happen, we have to manufacture the tiny little pandemic to justify the EUA. Listen, this is an important point because there is not a single person, I've made this point many times, there's not a single person who was on the ICTV, the International Committee of the Taxonomy of Viruses, which designated SARS-CoV-2 allegedly as a novel coronavirus, which was necessary to allegedly validate the existence of a pandemic, which has never been established, by the way. There's never been either one of those things established, but not a single person on that committee was in fact an independent researcher. Every single one of them not only was funded by NIAID or its counterparts, but most of them also had patents on drugs that could not be approved through conventional methods and needed an EUA. In other words, we had to create an environment into which an emergency use authorization could be promulgated, and we had to create that environment, and we had to validate the existence of the environment by scientists who all had a financial interest in getting their drugs known to kill people approved through an EUA process. This thing, from the beginning to the end, reeks of corruption. And we pretend, like somehow or another, we hear the study, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we heard Merck has a miracle drug established with Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals. people look at the history of Ridgeback. Ridgeback is the same crowd that was the Vanderbilt Association and the UNC Chapel Hill Association and all of the other universities who've been funded by NIAID to build a coronavirus bioweapon. And they are, in fact, the ones who are now mysteriously the second potential, you know, drug of choice to work on coronavirus. This thing reeks of corruption from beginning to end, and we still pretend like it's just unfolding mysteriously by some sort of happenstance, courtesy of a pangolin and a bat walking into a bar in Beijing somewhere in the December 2019 timeframe. The fact of the matter is, this is a story of criminal corruption and death and murder, and we need to call it what it is.
And you've been touching on the emergency use authorization, where these individuals knew that they had drugs that were killing people, and the only way they were going to get it on the market, because they weren't going to get approved any other way conventionally, was to have an emergency use authorization of some sort. And that is still what we find the three shots here in America, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, they still sit in an emergency use authorization, and they have criminally figured out a way to try to convince Americans that the Pfizer shot is actually somehow approved, when in fact it isn't approved at all. Nope. It's still in the emergency use authorization, and you can read it on their fact sheets. It's amazing to me that people don't read these. The fact sheets are created, published, and printed by the FDA itself. So if you just look at
remember,
them.
The Federal Trade Commission is very, very clear, and you know this, no physician who's done anything in genuinely helping patients in America doesn't know that under the Federal Trade Commission Act, there's a thing called deceptive medical practices. And deceptive medical practices is defined by anybody who says that you can diagnose, treat, or cure a condition without having at least two independent, peer-reviewed, double-blind trials stating that the safety and efficacy of a thing is in fact established. Now, here's the very, very insidious problem. We have no, and you heard me say this correctly, we have no legal clinical trial of any injection in the United States at this particular point in time. And that's because of two things. Number one is we actually established a protocol which did not measure the safety and efficacy of a vaccine. It measured a clinical outcome called days in hospital or severity of symptoms that was a treatment designated by the FDA as a gene therapy. And let me make something abundantly clear. Reuters, Fact Check, USA Today, and countless others have taken issue with the fact that I said this is not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the Securities and Exchange Commission filings of both Moderna and the 20F filing of BioNTech, the partner of Pfizer, in April of 2020, they make it abundantly clear. They state right in their securities filings that mRNA is considered to be a gene therapy by the FDA. The reason why I say it's not a vaccine is because the FDA itself said it wasn't a vaccine. It was, in fact, a gene therapy. And the fact is that the public would not accept a gene therapy any more than you or I would accept prophylactic chemotherapy for the cancer that we might get someday. The fact of the matter is, gene therapy is not a general application public health measure. It is, in fact, a very specific targeted intervention for specific disease, and only then it is still in the experimental stage. If you read the April 2020 filing of both Moderna and BioNTech, the two platform compounds that are currently part of the emergency use authorization, both companies state very clearly that their technology is gene therapy.
Can I get you to...
Now, turns out not a single parent would subject their kid to gene therapy if it was called what it is.
That's exactly what I wanted you to touch on. All right. I want to know, Dr. Martin, there's some names of people. Something made you upset and you said you are not okay living in a country where it's okay for anyone to murder and kill five-year-olds. Yeah. And let's get to why it is five-year-olds is significant. Tell me why it is you dropped the five-year age, because it's very significant, and there's a real reason, and I have the same problem. I've been upset ever since.
Well, so the bottom line for me is that it is a very specific situation that in this particular instance, what has been the objective all along is to drop this entire designation down into the moving of the liability out of the PrEP Act condition and into the childhood vaccine condition. We have been desperate in America, courtesy of the entire vaccine march ever since 1986. We have been entirely motivated to make sure that every drug dealing company has the ability to suppress any public liability that it might ever have by making sure that whatever is done falls under the PrEP Act, or sorry, under the Childhood Vaccine Act, not under the PrEP Act. And that's because what we're trying to do is we're trying to institute this as the precursor to having any child access education. 5 years of age means that before you get to go to school, we get to genetically alter you. And so for me, the 5 year of age limit is actually significant on a host of reasons, but most importantly, we know that the objective has been to get 86 Act protection for an illegal substance, a gene therapy, which is going to harm and maim and kill children. And we want to make sure that the school systems in America are hijacked into forcing this onto the vaccine schedule before a kid goes to school. The fact of the matter is there is no justification, and you know this very well from all the data that CDC has published, there's no justification for any of these experimental injections in any population, and certainly not making it part of the general schedule of vaccines for school children. But that's why we had to get to five, because we had to make sure it was a gateway drug to getting into schools. And the fact is, every single person knows that this had nothing to do with public health. This had to do with an agenda to make children dependent on a vaccine platform, which genetically altered them from childhood for the rest of their lives. This five-year horizon was absolutely 100% capricious, and there is no data supporting its evidence in any way, shape, or form. There is not a single justification for it, and any parent who is subjecting their child to it is participating in the development of a universal mandate that will go into childhood education and be a gateway to keeping kids out of schools if they don't fall for this thing.
So on top of the gene therapy, which I know that five-year-old number is significant, that's why I wanted you to touch on it.
Yep.
I want to conclude some data that just came through on November 8th. Let's give some data to some parents in relationship to the shots you're going to sign up your kids or volunteer to take them, which I think is abusive. This is from the American Heart Association, dated November 8th. It's actually titled, this is an abstract, Abstract 10712, mRNA COVID vaccines dramatically increase endothelial inflammatory markers for heart disease. Let me read this. They conclude that the mRNA vaccines, which are which ones, Dr. David Martin?
Moderna and Pfizer.
Good. So the Moderna and the Pfizer, which ones did they just approve for kids ages 5 to 11?
Pfizer is the only one that's gotten authorized.
Pfizer, and Pfizer's an mRNA vaccine. We conclude that the mRNA vaccines dramatically increase inflammation of the endothelium, the lining of your heart, and T-cell inflammation of cardiac muscle, and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, cardiomyopathy, and other vascular events following vaccination.
This is the first time in history of the 140 years of our pharmaceutical medical history in America that there's ever been a disease where we said, wait till you're really sick before you go get treated. If a kid sprains their ankle, they don't look at that kid and go, you know what, you should wait 4 days till it gets really swollen and then ice it. You should always start treating it early. The drug Anthony Fauci chose to be the mandated drug, and that's called Remdesivir. It wasn't FDA approved ever. Then he stated there were two studies that proved it safe and effective against the Ebola virus, and because of that study, it warrants its use in the coronavirus. It was already found to be the most deadly of the four experimental drugs in the Ebola trial. There's going to be a huge amount of autoimmune diseases that are going to be contributed directly to these shots. However, the time between the two of them is going to allow them to get away with liability.
Let's go back for a minute, because I told you we want to go back to rabbits, and it's important for us to go back to rabbits because We need to see in rabbits the thing that you as parents should be concerned about with your children. And that is, Ralph Baric for a decade knew that by amplifying the spike protein expression inside of the coronavirus model, that cardiomyopathy led to death in rabbits. That's why he was chosen. He was chosen by Anthony Fauci because he was already the architect of death, cardiomyopathy in rabbits. Let's be really, really clear. We didn't choose any old researcher. We chose the guy who figured out how to make the pathogen more harmful to humans. That's the guy we chose to fund. That's the guy we put at the helm of weaponizing coronavirus. And we need to be abundantly clear that he knew that the things he was working with at the time increased cardiomyopathy risk. This was known in 1998, 1999, and 2000 because for a decade, he had been researching the cardiomyopathy effect of coronavirus and his particular recombinant coronavirus in rabbits. He was in the business of weaponizing this thing, making it more lethal, making it more target to the cardiac tissue and endothelial cell tissue. He was actually focused on that, and that's the reason why he was chosen. I mean, this is not an accident. We knew the guy had, in fact, already successfully amplified coronavirus spike proteins that killed rabbits, and now we're supposedly surprised that it's somehow harmful to human heart tissue, to human endothelial cells. Are you kidding? This was architected by the guy who actually perfected that pathogen, who weaponized that pathogen with NIAID's funding in 2002. He was chosen because this worked as a weapon. That's why he got the money.
You mentioned in a little clip we showed earlier, and the reason why I put that clip in is because you mentioned that you liked martial arts movies because there's always this little guy and there's like six or eight big guys, and he takes this active energy and turns it into passive energy. How do we take these individuals down who are still walking freely? How do we do like Bruce Lee did in these movies? How do we become the ninjas, like you mentioned? Name some of the other big 6 to 8 big individuals that need to be taken down. I'll throw out a name that I loved you throwing out there because you said every time you say it, it's like $12.5 million he's going to spend trying to get
Dustin Moskovitz. Let's get ahead of that one.
Let's get ahead of that one. Dustin Moskovitz. So go ahead. Give us some more names.
Hey, listen, Dustin Moskovitz for me has been, you know, kind of front and center as the person who needs to be brought out in public because he is actually not only the architect of the Event 201, which was the tabletop exercise in October of 2019, which said that we were going to have a scripted, you know, global pandemic with a coronavirus outbreak. And conveniently, he got Johns Hopkins University, the Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum to put their names on the event he paid for. Anytime somebody does that, it smells like a rat because it is a rat. And Dustin Moskovitz was front and center in making that whole nonsense happened. But let's go back and let's talk about some of the companies that I think we should be talking about.
Yes.
Answer, A-N-S-E-R, the company that no one seems to know anything about, which, by the way, one of the all-time greatest ascenders in the federal contracting universe, who now sits right beneath the giant defense contractors, is one of the largest U.S. defense contractors in America. Answer, A-N-S-E-R. And you don't know about them because they don't tell you that they were, in fact, the real beneficiary of their cover corporation, ATI, Advanced Technologies International, out of South Carolina. And the reason why you don't know about them is they're the ones that ran Operation Warp Speed. They're the ones that hired Pfizer. They're the ones that hired the other pharma companies to make their drugs. They're the ones that are the prime contractor for Operation Warp Speed. They're the Defense Department arm that was, in fact, distributing what we've been told is a public health agent. But why on earth would we be selling a pharmaceutical through the Department of Defense?
Yeah, good question.
You know, that feels like a weird thing until you realize that the reason why we did it, and by the way, it's very cute to read the answer contracts with Pfizer, with Moderna, with others. It's very cute to read those because, first of all, they're very heavily redacted. But one of the things I found fascinating is that the over $6 billion that went through this little company that had never in its history, never done anything with a pharmaceutical at global scale or at national scale, this particular Defense Department contractor happens to have a very colorful history in contracts specifically associated with the Department of Defense, the Office of Propaganda.
Wow.
We chose a defense contractor with expertise in propaganda and digital information management. We chose that company. And then we had companies like Fors Marsh, another company none of us talk about. But Fors Marsh, the official branding agency, to make sure that we have the pathetic stories of hospitals that are filling up or children who are suffering from COVID or whatever else. Probably my all-time favorite manipulation of any story is a tragic story of a young lady in the Virginia Beach area who died allegedly of COVID, but for a tiny little problem. And this, by the way, this death was used to promote the vote at the FDA to authorize the injection into children, because this poor child died allegedly of COVID. The only problem is, if you read the official account of the girl's death, what you find is that she lived in a family that was fully vaccinated, and she was the only member of the family, too young, only member of the family that wasn't vaccinated. But the ironic condition is she went to the hospital, allegedly with idiopathic pneumonia, and wound up dying 5 days later. And they bothered to have the decency of telling the truth. She was tested for coronavirus infection. She had none. She had a negative chest x-ray, meaning that she had none of the signs and symptoms associated with COVID-19. She didn't have a single COVID diagnosis. But she was traped out into the media as the justification for this poor child who died. And they brought their parents out grieving parents about their loss of their child, all done by the marketing and branding agencies that were trying to get the public to fall for a childhood immunization program. This is absolutely insidious. We have Palantir, the mysterious company run by Peter Thiel, who decided to go public during the COVID abysmal market campaign in 2020. You sit back and say, well, why did a company go public? Well, look at the financial gains that they made. That's why they went public. But that's because they were part of the information control, information detection, the movement of people, the information tracking programs through their Gotham Data Sciences platform. They have been very instrumental in making sure that your devices and your activities are monitored and hacked and managed and your data is compromised. This is an organization that, not surprisingly, also brought us back years ago when we heard about the terrible things that were done by Cambridge Analytica and Bob Mercer, another name very closely associated with this nonsense and mysteriously missing from our public conversation. Over and over and over again, what we find is that those who had financial gain were instrumental in building out the platforms that brought us the pandemic in the first place. And we cannot forget Peter Daszak's very, very famous and important quote, and I make it my point to make sure I read it in every time I speak publicly. We need the public to increase their understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. A quote published by the National Academy of Sciences in February of 2016 by the very individual who was laundering money to the Chinese to weaponize spike proteins to inject into the arms of our children.
Dr. Martin, you've done a great job of unveiling, pulling back the curtain of the lies and atrocities since 1984 that you're aware of with Anthony Fauci and all these others. Can you please tell my audience where they can stay abreast of the things you're helping to unveil? I know you actually mentioned in the on stage last, I think it was last week in Louisiana, that you and your wife had launched a new website, brand new one. I'm not sure if this is going to help, But if that site is designed to help keep my audiences educated and keep them abreast, that's what I want them to have. So please tell them where they can follow you, where you're going to continue to unveil the truth so that it drops the fear of death, which actually should not exist.
Well, there's a bunch of places to find us. Fully Live Academy now has our courses online, but it also has the videos that we are now maintaining in an environment that cannot be taken down. As many of your viewers or listeners will know, I do a very regular set of shows with James Perpera on the activatehumanity.com website. And then you can always find me at davidmartin.world and across social media, Doc David Martin or David Martin World. And you'll find all the content anywhere you want on any of those locations. We've been doing a wonderful job of staying alive on probably the most censored platforms known to humanity. I have a couple secrets that I use to make sure that I just make it harder for them to detect my content. And the good news is working so far. So I'm delighted. But listen, my passion is very clear. We have a criminal conspiracy that is actually now murdering children. And until we have the cessation of the emergency use authorization and the criminal conspirators held to account, we are not done. And I'm deeply grateful that we've taken this time. And Dr. Artis, one thing I would just encourage anybody who can, and this is something that I will continue to state until we get action on this, the information that we've posted, the Fauci dossier, all of these videos, all the information we've posted needs to go to attorneys general because there needs to be criminal proceedings filed against the perpetrators of these crimes. These are antitrust racketeering violations. They are now murder, and we need criminal accountability for these individuals. And each and every one of your listeners can send the Fauci dossier to their attorney general in their home state and make sure that there is pressure put on all of them to hold accountable those people who are harming humanity.
Where do they find the Fauci dossier?
You can go online and do not pay for it. It's free. I released it in the Creative Commons license, and then a bunch of people decided to publish it on Amazon and get paid for my work. Download it for free off of any web browser. Just type in my name, David Martin, and type in Fauci dossier, D-O-S-S-I-E-R. Type it on any platform, anywhere, and you can download it for free. Don't buy it from Amazon because that is not me and it's not something I authorized.
Well, Dr. Martin, I've actually said nonstop since May 2020 when I learned who Anthony Fauci was for the first time. I actually have said nonstop, this is going to be Anthony Fauci's genocide. It's now converted to, I've now said now that I've learned about him since 1984, met with Judy Mikovits, I've actually said he's the greatest serial killer of all time. Yep. On American soil. Is there in your uncoverings, you might can correct this, you might know that someone else is actually a greater serial killer than Anthony Fauci in American history. Of those names and of those faces, is there anyone else you put up on a pedestal as high as him or even above him?
Well, no. And as a matter of fact, what we have to understand is that inside of the long history that Anthony Fauci's had at NIAID, what we have to do is realize that when he took that position back in 1984, that we had a relatively small, sub 15% incidence of severe allergy and infectious disease in this country. And since he's taken office, our allergens and infectious disease count now accounts for over half of the population. And that needs to be seen through the light that it is, because it's not just the willful homicides of people through his advancement of his vaccine agenda. But we have to understand that at the time when he was supposed to be the one caring about allergies and infectious disease, we had the proliferation of things like glyphosate across our food supplies and a outbreak of tons and tons of GI allergies and chronic inflammatory diseases. We need to realize that a lot of the deaths that he has caused are slow motion deaths. Yes. We call them chronic disease, but they were avoidable had there been appropriate research done, because it turns out that since the early 1900s, and you heard me say that correctly, since the early 1900s, we have known that Bacillus thuringiensis is harmful to the GI systems of vertebrates. Japanese researchers found that out prior to the First World War. We knew that was a problem. And during Anthony Fauci's reign, he has done nothing to rein in the pathogens that are in our food supply. So when we think about how many people are dying, we're not just talking about people who die from adverse events from the vaccines. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people every day who suffer from chronic, bowel and GI disorders. We're talking about, you know, millions of children who suffer from allergies that are absolutely avoidable had NIAID done its job in protecting Americans. And this gentleman has taken $191 billion and pushed it down the rat hole of a single vaccine platform. His sole agenda in his entire professional career, he has actually diverted funds that could have been used to make sure that the quality of life is increased. And what he's done is he's appropriated to increase the harm to human life and to decrease the ability to deal with things that genuinely are real concerns, the allergies and infections caused by the corruption of our food supply. So the fact of the matter is the numbers are far in excess of what we would think when we think about how deep and wide the swath of death is around Anthony Fauci, because the fact is that through acts of omission and commission, he's actually responsible for massive death and destruction and will be even more so with the chronic disease that his carelessness has promoted.
Now, this is a real question, Dr. Martin. I wasn't expecting to ask this, but is there someone who put him in his position that you think is orchestrating all of this?
Or
is
absolutely. There's no question. In fact, I encourage people, if they want to get the novel form of what this is. I wrote a novel in 2011, Coup de 12, The Enterprise That Bought the Presidency. That book lays out kind of the longer architecture, because it goes back, by the way, you know, to the anthrax scare in 2001. It goes back to events that go all the way into the 1980s with what was allegedly the war on drugs. If we go back and see what's really behind this, what we find is that there has been, since the 1914 establishment of the eugenics office at Cold Spring Harbor Labs in the New England area, since that period of time, there are people who genuinely think that it is their prerogative to control the population of the world. And those individuals are alive and well and trying desperately to make sure that they manage the narrative of what the future of humanity is. And the fly in the ointment is we're having this conversation. We're talking about it. And I put a bunch of those names and faces on the board. And I'm going to continue to bring those names and faces to the public's attention, because we, the people, do have an opportunity to turn the tide, but we can only do so if we take action. So the goal is get the information in front of law enforcement, in front of attorneys general, in front of U.S. attorneys, and let's see if we can use the public to hold the private politicians accountable.
I've been extremely proud of our audiences, and I thank you for your support in helping to get comments to the FDA to voice your disgust and your againstness against the actual emergency use authorization for 5 to 11-year-olds, even though they pushed it through. There are agendas at stake. There's people behind all of this. Dr. David Martin continues to expose those. Coup de 12 is the book. I'm going to actually read it. I can't wait to see it, and I will order it today. I haven't read it, so I look forward to that. So thank you for bringing that up, and I encourage all the audiences to be informed too, because it will drop fear. Last comments from you, Dr. David Martin. I want you to speak to the parents of all children in America 5 to 18 years old. What would you say? Two sentences.
Well, I'll tell you, the simplest thing is this. Your children are not only a gift from the divine, they are also a legacy of your stewardship of life. And if you choose to allow someone who has a history of mass murder to watch over your children at night, that is negligence and ultimately homicide. Do not let a mass murderer care for your child.
That is the most perfect ending to a show. This has been one of my favorites. Dr. David Martin, thank you for coming on. Please find the Fauci dossier and actually send that to every attorney general, because I've stated nonstop, I am not going to stop talking about these murderous protocols in hospitals that have upset me over the last year and a half. And people say, well, how long are you going to do it for? Until the protocols are taken out of the system.
That's exactly right.
Like, I'm not going to stop. It hasn't stopped yet. We're at 793,000 dead Americans. We're at 610,000 dead Brazilians. Guess what's the only drug they're using? Remdesivir in all hospitals. So stay motivated, Dr. Martin. Stay angry like I am, and please continue to expose the truth. I love you for all you do. I can't wait to see you and work with you further in the future, and thank you for all you're educating us with.
You're most welcome. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much. See you later. This actual show has been brought to you by The Dr. Artist Show. It's been brought to you by artistlabs.com. Please go there and actually share all the information. Please share this with as many people as possible. We need as many attorney generals seeing the Fauci dossiers as possible. Dr. Martin's working very hard to produce articles, unveil information about the corruptness behind everything that's occurring right now in our world. It is a hoax. It is a plan. They are attempting to murder and kill our children and our elderly and all of you and gene edit all of you. And they've been pumping billions of dollars into doing just that. And let's hold them all accountable for the mass murder. I think us as Americans, us as God-fearing individuals, I think we don't accept murder of innocent people and children, especially children. Dr. David Martin, thank you again. I hope you have a great day. Look forward to seeing you in the future. I'm Dr. Artist.
Very good. Thanks a lot.